We're talking about relationships a lot, and last week we were talking about friendship. And I made the analogy, I said, friendship is like a game of Texas Hold'em. But when I think about it, that analogy applies not just to friendship, but it actually applies to a lot of different relationships. You see, if you're not familiar with Texas Hold'em, it's a form of poker, and you have a few cards in the middle at first, which are communal cards. And then you also have a hand of your own, which is private, and you keep close to your chest. And what happens is that as the rounds go on, more and more cards are revealed, and as more and more cards are revealed, people make different rounds of bets, and the pot increases more and more. Now, each round of betting, you have one of three choices. You can choose to match the person's bet, you can choose to raise the person, or you can choose to fold. And relationships, I think, is a lot like this. You know, you put yourself out there a little bit, and you're trusting and you're vulnerable. You put something into the pot, you reveal a little bit more, and you hope that the other person is going to reciprocate what you've put out there, right? But of course, there's no guarantees, and so this is scary, and this is a very risky thing to do, but that's the only way we build relationships, is by putting ourselves out there. And of course, the deeper those things are and the, let's say, the uglier those things are that we put out there, the bigger the wager is that we're making. And in life, the only way to develop real, meaningful relationship, like life-giving relationship, the relationship that feeds us, the only way to do that is through putting yourself out there. It's through trust and vulnerability. I talked about this last week too, that it's trust and vulnerability that really builds relationships. It's not time in. See, a lot of us think that. We think it's about putting time in, but it's about trust and vulnerability. I have a friend who I've known over a dozen years, and we've shared hundreds of experiences together, thousands of hours we've spent together. We have a ton of fun. I wouldn't really consider them a very close friend. Yeah, I have another friend who I've spent only a fraction of that amount of time with. Yet, the whole time we've been together, we've been in an accountability group. And so, the wager is quite big. He knows all my secrets. I know all of his. We've had great vulnerability. And I would consider that friend a much closer friend. And if I was in a time of need, or I was struggling with something, it's that friend who I would call. And it's that friend who I do call. And this is why we trust. This is why it works, because there's just, with this other friend, there's simply more in the pot. We have more on the line. We've been vulnerable with each other. And this is important because this is called intimacy. I know Valentine's Day just passed, but intimacy is not a romantic word. I mean, sometimes we use it that way in our society, but intimacy, when you look it up, really all it talks about is having a deep familiarity with the other person. To know the other person through and through. This is what intimacy is all about. And so intimacy, if it's about sharing intimate details about yourself with somebody else, then the opposite of intimacy would, of course, be privacy. Intimacy and privacy are sort of like two opposite sides to the very same coin, which is relationship. Now, just besides it being necessary for relationship, to build any kind of relationship, intimacy is also something that we need it. And not only do we need it, but we secretly desire it. Even if we can't verbalize it, we desire it deep down. And this is because, as we've looked at lots of times already in this series, we were created in the image of an intimate God, a God of relationship, a God who exists in perfect intimate unity because he's a tri-personal being. Within the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is true intimacy and knowledge of the others. And so because we were created in the image of that kind of a God, he created us to reflect his image, we also then have this deep, innate desire for intimacy, to be known and to know another person and all the intimate details about them. That is what we were designed for. And that's why there is this need within us, and it's only satisfied by deep, meaningful relationship. And I mean, you know this. I mean, don't you long for this? Of course you do. If you've ever experienced a relationship that is intimate, can't you ascribe to that, just how wonderful that was? If you've never had that kind of relationship before, could you just imagine how wonderful it would be to have a relationship where there's no masks, no pretending, no posturing, where you could just be you, sincerely, genuinely, who you are. I mean, that's what we long for. I can remember that for a period of time, my growing up years, I had a friend like that. This friend was so wonderful. It made that time of my life one of the best times of my life. And if I ever think back to that friend or that time of my life, I always look back with nostalgia. Like, it was just wonderful. Now I have that intimate relationship with my wife. And I have to say, it's wonderful. It makes coming home every day, hands down, the best part of my day. Because I know there's someone waiting there for me who knows me. And I can drop all the masks at the door. And I love to do that. See, my friends, we all long for intimacy. Yet what's interesting is at the same time, we covet our privacy. It's funny, hey? We long for intimacy, yet we covet our privacy. We don't want people to know too much about us or all about us, and especially those dark, sort of nasty parts of our lives. And the more nastiness there is in our lives, the less we seem to want people to know about us. We want to be able to reserve some cards close to our chest. We long for intimacy, yet we want our privacy. Now, some people think, okay, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with keeping our privacy? Well, the problem is that our level of intimacy is always going to be subordinate to our level of privacy. It's like our privacy is like a ceiling on our level of intimacy, stopping it from going higher. So the more privacy you have, the less intimacy you have. It's like a seesaw. And if you want more intimacy, privacy must go down. Because intimacy is knowing the deep details of a person. So you see, it's always a trade-off. And you'll never have more intimacy than the amount of privacy you're willing to give up. This is a key to life. And this is one of the reasons we have such intimate relationships in our families and our childhood friendships. Because simply, there's just not a lot of room for privacy in those relationships. As Joyce Brothers once said, real intimacy depends on truth lovingly told. I remember Lacey and I used to watch this reality show. It was called Marriage Boot Camp. And it was a long time ago. You probably don't remember it. One of those kind of sleazy reality shows. But, you know, it was fun. You know, you look at other people's marriages and you can be like, hey, at least we're not that bad. And so the basic premise of this reality TV show is that they would get several couples, of course dysfunctional couples, couples that were about to break up and were very dramatic, and they would gather them together in this big house, and they put some of the best relationship counselors in the country there in the room with them and would help them to try to fix their marriages. So, I mean, there was a lot of good that came out of this. And I remember in one episode, kind of near the end of the season, they had this exercise where they would take the couple into the room, and the couple could ask three questions that they wanted to know about their spouse, and the spouse had to answer. And they hooked the spouse up to a lie detector test, just to make sure, right? It was good entertaining fun. And I remember there was this, they said that if you do this, your relationship will deepen. And I thought about that, and of course it's going to deepen your relationship. Because there were some things that each couple knew the other one was keeping from them, secret. And if intimacy is knowing more intimate details, then of course the less privacy, when you remove that veil of privacy, all of a sudden intimacy increases. So it would deepen their relationship. And there was this one couple that actually refused to do the exercise properly. And I hadn't seen this before on a reality TV show, but the counselors actually kicked them off the show, kicked them out of the house. Because according to them, they said that if you're not willing to do this exercise, if you can't do that, then there's no hope for your marriage. And I thought that was very telling. That there's been lots of times in that show when the couples didn't do what they were supposed to do or didn't do it properly, but this was a deal breaker for them. Said if you're willing to keep secrets from your spouse, your marriage cannot be saved. My friends, our intimacy is always going to be hindered by our privacy. And so then the question we need to ask is, if our need and desire for intimate relationships is hindered so much by our privacy, then why not just give up our privacy? Well, here's how the Bible answers the question. I'd like to read it for you. It comes to us from the book of John, chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds might be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. See, the Bible is saying that sometimes people don't want to come into the light because there's rotten things in their lives. And there's rotten things in your life, you don't want those things to be exposed. When it comes to our privacy, we want to leave people in the dark about certain areas of our lives, and we're afraid of those things, especially those rotten things getting out. And that makes sense because it's scary, because we're afraid that if we let those things out, if we're vulnerable with someone, then they may reject us because of those things. Or they may use those things to hurt us in some kind of way, right? But also realize if we don't share these things with other people, then also people can't help us with those things. They can't speak in to those things in our lives. And that is why we covet our privacy, and we're afraid that if we bring these things into the light, everything's going to fall apart. And so we keep things private from people. But what's interesting, I don't know why people do this, but, and I do this, and I don't know why, but we tend to also keep those rotten things private from God. That's funny because we know, of course, intellectually, that God knows everything about us, that actually before God there is no privacy. Yet somehow we want to hide those things from God, not bring those to him, because we're afraid that if we do that, he's going to condemn us for those things. No one wants to feel judged or condemned. But that would be a misunderstanding of the truth of God, because this is what it said in the book of John, chapter 3, that we just read. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, this is the truth of the gospel. This is what God is saying. He's saying, listen, I didn't send my Son Jesus for you and to die for you just to condemn you more. No, I did this to save you. Listen, bringing things before God does not increase condemnation. He already knows these things. It only brings relief. It only brings forgiveness. Realize that Jesus bore his entire life to us on the cross, right? He did not hold back anything of himself. God did not hold back anything of himself from us. He laid it all bare. Realize that there is no darkness in Jesus, yet he took all of our darkness and all of our rottenness onto himself in order to save us from any condemnation. And realize that he gave up all privacy, right? There is no privacy when you're hanging on a cross, ridiculed, naked for everyone to see. Everything was laid bare before us. And he did this for us so that we could receive intimacy with God. God gave up all privacy to establish all intimacy with us. Now, if you understand this truth, then you will not hoard your privacy, but you will give it up, knowing that God gave up his privacy for you, and you have nothing to hide because it's all forgiven. And if you truly believe this, if you truly believe that God laid everything bare on the cross, then you will not hesitate to lay down your life before him at the foot of the cross. And when you lay down your darkness, your rottenness, all your filthiness at the foot of the cross, and when you lay yourself bare, you realize that there is no judgment there. But you've brought it into the light, and in the light there is Jesus, and in the light there is the blood of Jesus, and there is forgiveness in the blood. When you step into the light, all of the darkness that was there, it gets now transformed into light. I remember when I learned this lesson, it was many years ago when I was in a college class, and there was a professor of mine. He was trying to teach us this principle of light as communicated in Scripture. And so he told someone to turn off all the lights in the classroom. So someone did that, and he said, where is the darkness? And we said, well, you know, it's everywhere. It's all around us. And he said, okay, now turn on the light. So we turn on the light, and he said, okay, now where is the darkness? We weren't sure how to respond, but we did the best we could. And so we said, well, you know, I guess there's a little behind the door, and there's some under the desk there. And he said, okay, well, I mean, what you're saying is true, but could all of the, where did all the darkness go? Because could all the darkness now fit under that little desk? He said, this is what has happened. When the light came on, all the areas that the light touched were transformed from darkness into light. He says, light always transforms darkness. And this is the point Jesus is trying to make. He's like, you step into the light, and the lightness transforms you, and it takes your dark places and transforms them into light places. So this is why we should shed our privacy. This is why we should go towards intimacy, because intimacy with God will always lead us to a better place and lead us towards the light. But furthermore, we should shed our privacy because when we do that, we're finally able to have those intimate relationships that we've always longed for, both with God, but also with other people. Just consider this scripture in 1 John chapter 1, which talks about the intimacy that this will give us with God and others. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So it says here, when we're in the light, we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with others. Right? We have fellowship with others. And why is this? It's because Jesus, his son, has purified us from all sin. And because we're purified from sin, now we have an intimate relationship with God, a God who can have no sin in his presence. We can come before the presence of a holy God, cleansed now. We can be in relationship with him. And furthermore, it empowers us to be able to have intimacy with other people. You need to realize this, because when you know that you can come before a holy God, righteous, unjudged because of what Jesus has done for you, and that he thinks the world of you, then it should not matter so much what other people think of you. If intimacy is familiarity, and that's a scary thing, well, we have nothing to be scared for, because if you know that it doesn't matter what anyone does with this information, that God has totally accepted me and he knows all the information, then you're not scared. And when you're not scared, you can finally reveal your cards. And the thing about vulnerability is it is a scary thing, and no one's going to reveal their cards unless you're willing to reveal your cards first. So how can you have intimacy unless someone's willing to pull the trigger first? And the only way to do that is to be so secure in who you are in Christ Jesus and what he's done for you that you can boldly lay out your cards before another person. This is the only way towards intimacy, is to show your hand first. Now, I have a story about this. I think some of you have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it anyways because it's very relevant to this discussion we're having. And that is when Lacey and I were, Lacey, if you don't know, she's my wife, and we had been dating only for a few months. And we decided one night that we were just going to get together and just put all our cards out on the table. I mean, yeah, was this a scary thing? Sure. But at this point, we could see that we had been together for a long time, or not that long, but the strength of our relationship was growing, and there was lots of momentum, and we thought, if we keep going down this path, it's eventually going to lead to marriage. Now, we believed that marriage is a forever commitment, and so we thought, well, we better know everything about the other person, because you don't want to get into a forever commitment and then realize that there's things about the other person, their baggage, that you simply don't have the strength to carry. And so we thought, let's get it all out. And so we laid all our cards out on the table, and it was great, because I know some couples who have gone through almost their entire marriage and still kept secrets from each other, didn't share everything. And I think we were willing to do this at such an early stage because Lacey and I had both come to know the Lord recently. And so we had experienced the truth of the gospel that I just talked about, that we are totally 100% accepted by God regardless of our past and what we've done. That it's not what we've done, but what God's done for us. And because that truth was so fresh in our minds, we were able to accept the other person. And so we were able to say to ourselves, well, yes, that's a lot to take in, and yes, there's a lot of baggage there, but just as God has accepted me with all my baggage, I can accept you now with all of your baggage. See, that's what gave us the power. Because we had the intimacy with God, we had the power to be vulnerable with another person, even if they would reject us. And so, if you want to develop intimate relationships, my suggestion to you would be to let the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus, accepted as a child of God, as that song that we sang, I am a child of God, which casts away all fear, I would say, just like pound that into your head until it sinks down into the soil of your soul that you are a child of God, and then the fear will go away. However you need to do that. I know some people like to memorize scriptures like this John chapter 3 passage we read. There's a lot of other passages too in scripture. You know, read those, memorize those, study those. Maybe you need to remind yourself of that throughout the day. Maybe you need to write it on a slogan, you know, on your mirror in the morning, or put it on a piece of paper that you carry around, or maybe you just need to recite it to yourself out loud multiple times a day. Whatever you got to do, you got to get this through you and in you that you're a child of God. Then the fear will go away. Then you'll be so solid in your foundation of who you are in Christ, which will never change, and nothing you could ever do could ever change that. Then you will be free enough then to reveal yourself to other people, to show your hand, and be okay that even if this person uses it against me, or even if this person chooses to reject me, that's okay because nothing can change who I am in Christ. Because if you don't give up your privacy, you'll never have intimacy, and you'll never build trust. I'm going to finish with this story. The first church I was a pastor of, you know, I'd just become a pastor. I'd heard lots of horror stories from college and friends of mine and stuff about how pastors get hurt and betrayed, you know, their trust and stuff by their churches. And so my decision was that I was going to be reserved. You know, I was going to have a private life. And so I did my best to pastor church, but I was reserved. And I didn't, you know, like hang out with people from the church, outside of church. I didn't reveal a lot about my life or my past. I wasn't really totally, I would always kind of have a bit of a mask on, I think, when I was around in my church or those people in my church. I wouldn't invite anyone from church onto my social media. I wouldn't join a small group with people from the church or anything like that. I mean, it was just very private. And I thought that this was the way to go. But after being there for about 4.5 years, I mean, when it was time to go, there was a lot of trust that was broken. And there was a lot of hurt, I think, on both sides. And I looked back on it, and I wonder what happened. And then God called me to pastor another church. And so this whole question of privacy and intimacy came up. And I began to struggle with it. Because I wanted more than anything to be more closed off and more private. I said, if I have to go again to another church, I'm just going to, you know, double down on my defenses, right, so that I can't be hurt, right? This seemed like a safer bet to me. But I also knew that that was going to hinder me from being a good pastor. Because I'm like, a pastor is a shepherd, and he needs to love the people. How can you love people, have a relationship, be intimate with someone when you're reserved, when you're private? And I knew this lesson. In fact, I had taught about this, privacy versus intimacy, even way long ago, and I knew that this was a principle. And so one day I just sat down with the Lord in solitude, and I took the question to him, and I said, God, what should I do about this? And he spoke to me very clearly. And he said this, he said, double down on the trust. I guess God does also use card game references, you know? Or maybe he just knows that those are the references that I understand, and so he's explaining his rules to me in things that I can understand. Because double down, that's a blackjack term. If you're not familiar, it's a move you play in blackjack that doubles the risk, but also doubles your reward. And so God was saying, double down on the trust. When you go to your next church, instead of being twice as defensive, you need to be twice as vulnerable, twice as trusting. This scared the heck out of me, just when he said that, let me tell you. But it felt good, and I felt like that was the answer. And so I chose to do it. I said, I'm going to do that because I trust you, Jesus, and because you did this first for me. You laid everything bare for me, and you let me in, and you know everything about me, and you love me, and I can trust in that. And so I'm going to go ahead with courage and do this. And I'll tell you, I've learned something over the past 3 years. I've learned that mistrust begets mistrust. That's what happened in my last church. But also, trust begets trust. And when you trust somebody, then they're willing also to trust you. And in that way, trust is almost always the safer bet. And if you choose to trust someone, you will almost never have regrets. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you gave everything for us on the cross. You laid it all bare for us. You were totally exposed and vulnerable and naked before us so that we can now have that relationship with you, that we can come into a great intimate trust with you, Jesus. And we know, and we just want to claim today, Lord, that we are children of God. I am a child of God. My name is Keith, child of God. That is my name, because I'm a part of your family, and that nothing I ever do or do not do is going to change that fact of who I am in you, because you've done this for me. And so I know, Lord, that if other people reject me or hurt me, betray me, that doesn't matter, because I can never lose your love, Jesus. And so we pray, Jesus, that your love would cast out all of our fear and would give us courage to be vulnerable. Lord, help us to do this, to go all in our relationships. And we pray that you'd be so gracious to us, Lord, is to help us to do that. And when we do that, Lord, that people would accept us, that they would not reject us, that they would not fold, they would not hurt us, but that they would accept us, and that we would finally have those true intimate relationships that we all desire. And so I pray for this, Lord Jesus. I pray for this. I pray this not just for myself, but for everyone here. You would give us deep, life-giving, intimate relationships as a taste of what we'll have in heaven. So that when other people look at us, you would get the glory and they would say, I have never seen such love as I see amongst those people. They love each other. Amen. Now, just as we close, I want to just encourage you and challenge you this week to do that. Now, I'm not saying just go all in all your relationships, because any good poker player is going to tell you that if you go all in right away, anyone's going to fold to that. But I'm saying take your relationships and try just putting yourself out there just a little bit more than you have in the past and see how the person responds. Yeah, I encourage you to do that this week. I challenge you to do that. And as we transition now from our official part of our service to our prayer time, I just want to encourage you that if you need prayer, to come up here with our prayer team and have them pray for you. Or if you just want to have some spiritual conversations, we're going to have some quiet music playing, and this will be a place where we're going to keep the lights down. And if you need to just have those spiritual conversations, you want to pray for someone, I would so encourage you to do that this morning as the Lord works. So thank you all for coming and sharing your time with us this morning. My hope and prayer for you is that you would build intimate relationships, because I do believe we are better together. Go in peace.